You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Can you come and save her? Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when I turn right, but you turn all the way.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Dr. Dawn Karima, and in case no one's told you today, oh, God loves you, and we do too.
And our guest today is someone who is incredibly important to us, and I'm so glad that he is here with us today. Would you please introduce yourself to us?
Yes, I am Dwayne Brayboy, and I am Tuscarora from North Carolina, and I'm enrolled at Prospect Longhouse and the Prospect community, and I am Bear Clan.
We are so thankful to have you here with us. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. It's always an honor to be here.
It's an honor to have you here. We are rejoicing with you and with your nation, and if you feel comfortable sharing with us, will you tell us about a historic ceremony that recently occurred?
Oh, of course, yes. We said Nyagwarihutne, we say. That is our strawberry ceremony. And our strawberry ceremony is consistent throughout Haudenosaunee communities. And so this is the time of year when we, you know, the strawberries are always the first fruit to show here and to return, and then other fruits follow. But the ancestors, they chose the strawberry to be the leader. And, you know, we say, you know, Yegwarihutne, how we said Yegwarihutne, Wagayat Naragu, we said Agadachi. And so this is us giving thanks to Creator for these first fruits of the year. You know, they're always a sign, especially in the old days when, you know, obviously our ancestors couldn't just go to the grocery store. Mm-hmm. The appearance of these first fruits of the year, they were a sign that there would be times of abundance coming, you know, that we wouldn't be hungry. Mm. And also they provide not just sustenance, but also medicine. You know, there's medicine and the strawberry leaves. And the ancestors even said once, you know, in the old days that, you know, if one day the strawberry should not return, we can still use the strawberry leaves for medicine. And so this is us giving thanks to Creator for these sacred things, these sacred fruits. And this ceremony we had was significant because in the interest of decolonization, This was the first ceremony in our lifetimes where it was 100% in the Tuscarora language.
Oh, my.
Mm. Yeah. It was very special, very special. Yeah, no English at all, 100%. And, you know, of course, over the years, we've had some, you know, the language incorporated into the ceremony, and You know, but usually we would have to explain things, you know, like I'll say something in the language and then explain it to those who don't understand. But we decided this time around that, you know, we were just going to do this immersion style and set a precedent. And, you know, at the feast afterwards, you know, I let people know, you know, let this be encouragement for you all to learn our language so that you'll understand what we're saying in the longhouse.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I am so moved and so touched hearing about this, and I thank you so much for sharing this window into your language and culture with us. I wonder if you could share with us your actual feelings in real time during this ceremony.
I will say this. I think like any other speaker, faith keeper, that runs ceremonies and the longhouse, it seems like no matter how many times you do it, there's always a little bit like, say, a performer, you know, a musician maybe, who gets on stage. And before you get on stage, you know, there's always those butterflies, you know, you're always concerned if you're going to do it right, if you're going to mess up. And, you know, so beforehand, before we all entered the longhouse, you know, that was what I was going through at the time, you know, all morning long I was going, you know, I hope I get this right, you know. And then it's like once I got inside the longhouse, I was at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it felt that way. And once I began to speak, it so much more came out of me than what I ever anticipated. You know, these thoughts that I wanted to share, you know, it was as if Creator was giving me these words to say. And I was saying so much more. And I spoke to a faith keeper friend up north, and who corroborated this and said that he also has the same experience. And so, you know, it's like you get into ceremony and then just so much more starts coming out of you than what you ever anticipated.
Yes.
So I was surprised by that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great feeling. It was a great feeling.
We thank you for sharing that with us and sharing your language with your nation. What is the impact on people who come to this ceremony and maybe they don't speak the language, but they hear this ceremony conducted entirely in the language? What do you think it does for your community?
My experience was that there was a, I noticed and sensed that there were varying levels of knowledge inside the longhouse.
Sure.
And I could tell that I would be, when I was standing and speaking, I would say a certain phrase or a certain word, and then I would see people's eyes light up, like, I know what that is, you know? But they might have not understood everything else. And then there were people who, you know, a few people who are returning to the longhouse who are just not accustomed to hearing the language being spoken, especially fluently. I mean, other than, you know, the little words and phrases that we use, you know, but hearing the language being spoken fluently in ceremonial language inside the longhouse. And I could see that their eyes were just wide open, that they were amazed to hear this. And of course, that was corroborated after the fact. I had different people coming up to me asking about, can you teach me, you know, are you having any classes anytime soon? You know, I would love to be able to speak our language like you did. And so It's very in levels, I noticed. You know, there are those who speak some of the language and would light up when they would hear words and phrases that they knew. And then there were those who just really don't speak the language that are now inspired to.
That's beyond beautiful. I mean, that actually is radiant. That is magnificent. I'm so inspired as I hear you talk about this, and I want our friends who are listening to understand, what do you think are the importance or significance of these ceremonies in the modern times?
In the modern age, I feel like it is so important for us to not let go of our traditions. You know, it's like I was just the other day looking through some old documents, you know, for my nation, and I came across an old announcement from 1991 that was, you know, there used to be an Indian newspaper here in North Carolina and called the Carolina Indian Voice.
Yes.
And okay, you remember that, and so there was this announcement that I had came across in there from 1991, for Tuscarora Strawberry Ceremony, you know, announcing that what we would be doing, you know, it was a 2-day event. Sometimes, you know, the ceremonies last different amounts of time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like sometimes midwinter ceremony can last 7 days. Sometimes longer up north, sometimes, you know, just a day or two. It all depends. But a 2-day strawberry ceremony announcement from 1991, and, you know, at the time, it was just an announcement. But then I really looked at it the other day, and I thought, geez, that was over 30 years ago.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, it seems to me like it was just, you know, oh, I don't know, 10 years ago or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I come across this, and I was like, wow, that's over 30 years ago.
Yeah.
So I think it's so relevant still today, because that's what all of this is for anyhow. It's maintaining our traditions and our culture. And this is what binds us together. It's like this was the first ceremony that we've had since the COVID pandemic.
My goodness.
I know that there have been some communities that have had other ceremonies in more recent times, you know. But then, you know, because COVID affected us in the beginning so badly, we lost a bit of people to COVID here, we just decided to play it safe and just not have our ceremonies. And we had considered strawberry ceremony last spring.
Okay.
And we thought about having it outdoors where we could easily socially distance. Now, you know, we had this ceremony at Maxton Longhouse, and Maxton Longhouse is a pretty big longhouse. So we felt it was all, you know, safe to have it in there because it's so big and people could socially distance better inside. But, these things, these ceremonies, they're what bind us together as a community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we always know that we can come together for these ceremonies and continue on these ancient traditions that our ancestors and we have been doing since time immemorial.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I had the pleasure of speaking at the Southwest Texas Popular Culture Conference 1 year, and everyone was talking about modernity and what does that mean to indigenous people, and it was a Native authors panel. And finally, I just said, you know, when in doubt, indigenize. Just when in doubt, right?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about my Uncle Jay Red Eagle, and he used to say that everything a native does is ceremony, because our lives exist in small ceremonies. We have these conversations for this podcast every week, and that has actually become a kind of ceremony in my life, because we have such powerful ideas, and presenters are exchanging ideas and influencing the world. It may be for someone else Sunday dinner. It may be for someone else that you make that weekly phone call to your grandma and talk a while. But we have these things in our lives that become ceremony to us. And so when you look at this milestone, because someone's going to reminisce over you the same way you saw the newspaper feature about this ceremony years ago, someone else is going to see this. They're going to see that a social media post, or that, you know, their aunt and uncle or grandma and grandpa came to this ceremony. What do you want future generations to receive from this ceremony that you held?
I want them to acknowledge it as a defiant act of decolonization. About reclaiming our place, reclaiming completely our culture. I want them to see it that way. And when you were asking this, it made me think about our old longhouse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back in 1928, there was a delegation of Mohawks from Mokwasasne who came down to Robeson County, and they helped us build a longhouse and help get us back on track, because, you know, we were some of the first Indians to experience colonization.
Right.
And we had been fighting it for so long and wrestling with it, and then gradually just losing a bit here and a bit there. And, you know, the colonists, the settlers would shame us for speaking our language. And then, you know, gradually people, Tuscaroras, stopped using our language more and more. And so this delegation of Mohawks in 1928 came down, and they helped us build a longhouse, and they helped us reestablish our longhouse tradition. And before that, we were just having ceremonies out in fields or at somebody's house. And so my great-grandmother, she went to this longhouse, and she carried my grandfather and his siblings to that longhouse. And they, the language was still being spoken in the longhouse at that time. And so I'm thinking that in the future, in 100 years, I would hope that people would look back on this event the same way that I look back on that event, knowing that it was just 100 years ago that, you know, we had reestablished, you know, our longhouse here, and that our Mohawk brothers and sisters came down and helped us do this. And that was such a big event for us. That I look back on that with pride and with love, and just with such honor for our Mohawk brothers and sisters who helped us do this, you know, and I hope that in 100 years from now, people will look back at this event with respect and honor for refusing, you know, to surrender our culture to colonization.
Such courage, such bravery. I always like to place this kind of great milestone in context this way, too. You know, sometimes people will say to me, well, oh, it's just too bad they gave up their culture, or it's too bad they forgot their language. No, we didn't forget. We didn't give up. People could go to jail to prison
right.
for practicing ceremonies. There was no Native American religious freedom for much of our colonial history.
Absolutely.
The thing, language, right? People having their mouths washed out with lye and pins and needles
right.
stuck into their tongue and beatings and solitary confinement. And it's not that anybody got lazy or didn't care or forgot. It's actually that this was a war on our culture and traditions. Mm-hmm. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yes, this was a war waged on us, a cultural
mm-hmm.
war, by some of the worst motives and dark places
mm-hmm.
that we've ever known,
mm-hmm.
just evil. And so what are we supposed to do with that?
Right.
You know, it's hard to maintain one's identity, one's culture, one's language
mm-hmm.
when they're running for their lives.
Right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You know,
mm-hmm.
it is, I recently read something movie soundtrack composer, James Cameron, I believe,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
had, produced the Avatar movies, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And he had recently said that, you know, oh, it's really too bad that, I'm paraphrasing, of course, here, but just, it's too bad that, you know, natives lost their culture and such. You know, the Lakota should have fought harder.
Oh, no. Oh, dear.
He said this.
Oh, my.
And I'm thinking, if I could get this man's ear, I would give him a free education.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
me being no part Lakota, I know they're a good bit of their history, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I would give him a free history lesson
mm-hmm.
on the Lakota and a free history lesson on the rest of us as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the resistance that we put up.
Tremendous. Tremendous resistance. I mean, the fact that we know anything at all, the fact that we
right.
can do anything, right? I mean, because this the goal was complete and utter annihilation. The
right.
The actual standard was kill the Indian, save the man. And so
right.
when we start thinking about it's miraculous to me that we just know anything. Like, just, you know, that some brave people kept meeting out in the woods and kept, you know, we shifted our ceremonies to nighttime because it would be less likely that we would be caught, that changes and adaptations and things like that, people remembered anything, especially when you really think about the blunt force trauma that was applied to us and to our cultures and traditions. And so I applaud. Mm-hmm, yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say that most people don't realize that that Native Americans were not legally allowed
right.
to have our religious observances until 1978.
Exactly.
The Native
yeah.
American Religious Freedom Act.
Mm-hmm.
And before 1978, I was 8 years old.
Wow.
And you know, we could have been jailed
mm-hmm.
or fined or otherwise punished for
mm-hmm.
practicing our own spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't realize that. And we are just coming out of this, we're trying to come out of this still, this very dark place where
mm-hmm.
there are still so many Native Americans that by now view their own traditions as devil worship.
Yes, right.
Because
right.
they had been conditioned while our spirituality was being outlawed, other people, you know, the dominant society drove
mm-hmm.
it into our consciousness that this is devil worship, you can't do this, and it's illegal, and it's got to be wrong, and, you know, and we're still dealing with that.
Yes.
I mean, I've known in my lifetime
mm-hmm.
people who have down home, occasionally people will have sweat lodges. And I've known people that have had to sneak away in private to go sweat because their family members think of sweating as devil worship. You know, so we're trying to correct this way of thinking about our spirituality.
Brilliant, as always. Thank you so much for making that point. And I think it also is important to specify that it's not just spirituality. Our clothes were demonized. Our hair was considered wicked. Our speaking, just, you know, you didn't even have to be saying anything particularly spiritual. You could have just said, you know, good morning. You know, oh, nope, that's against the law. That's against your boarding school rules, or that's against your, you know, the government rules. You could lose your children. You
right.
could end up in prison. All of these things could happen just for being yourself. It's not even about being some lofty higher version. It's just if you were talking the way that you learned to talk, if you were wearing the clothing that you were taught to wear, if you were behaving in ways, you know, hunting when someone thought you should be gardening, this is all criminalized. And I think
right.
that's why it's so important that we have these conversations, because decolonization is actually breaking free of the colonial standards that were imposed on us. But then you have to have something to put in that vacuum. Then there's a vacuum, right? If, okay, well, we're not going to do this anymore, then what are we going to do? And that's where indigenization comes in. Indigenizing, you know, when in doubt, indigenize. Because
right.
otherwise there's a space and all kinds of confusion and all kinds of things. You don't want to be in a ditch on either side of the road, right? You want to be on the road. And I love the fact that you're offering these wonderful perspectives. So if we decolonize, and I think it's also important to remember, too, that we were great scientists and engineers and mathematicians, and we were brilliant doctors and thoughtful land stewards and spiritual people and faith keepers before colonization. We were already
right.
doing that. we were doing that, and we were just fine at it. And so now, with a ceremony like this, with such a powerful event, I mean, in your life, do you see that as moving from simply decolonizing to a place where folks can indigenize their lives?
Absolutely. I do agree with that completely. People can now, well, there's one person in particular. In fact, I put her name through. You know, it's one of the standards for our, there are three ceremonies that we have, Tuscaroras, where we put people's Tuscarora names through. That's strawberry, green corn, and midwinter.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like if, you know, somebody asks for a traditional Tuscarora name, and they're given a name, will put their name through at one of these ceremonies.
Mm-hmm.
So this person in particular, she asked me for a name a while ago, and I went through my process of coming up with names. That's one of the roles that I play in my community. People
mm-hmm.
ask me for names, and so I give people names.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to put her name through in ceremony this time. I was very proud to do that. And I noticed that she... prior, you know, for years, it's like she didn't really come to Longhouse. You know, I don't think she had a bad perspective about it, but it was just that she, for whatever reason, wasn't coming to Longhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And so once she got involved with the Longhouse and she could see that this was really something good, it really spoke to her soul, she told me. That now she is very interested in the next ceremony, in learning more of the language, and really indigenizing you know, her life, or reclaiming that sacredness that's really been stolen from us. It's not been lost. It's been stolen from us. It was wrested from our grasp. And so seeing people like her come back to the Longhouse and want to be a part of this ancient culture of ours, you know, it's so inspiring.
Yes. Oh, yes, absolutely.
And it makes me want to do better, you know? And, you know, it is one side note that I was just thinking of when you were speaking about the way that before, you know, the colonization, before then, when, you know, we were doctors and astronomers, and scientists, and, you know, we medicine people, you know, and we all, you know, all of our native nations had these things going on. You know, there is one way that I describe that time, you know, and in Tuscarora, I would say, Hadius Hentre, Gayet Nari Hak, Hauri Huitge, Haut Nisararawe, Disne Gayet Nari Hak, Hakago Senahewawe. And that is how I say, reference that time before colonization. And what that means is, in those days when we used to know about the stars and knew their names.
It's beautiful.
Because that's something that in the colonial process that we lost. You know, that's one of the things that we lost. You know, you're not supposed to look at the stars. You know, you're not supposed to understand about the stars. You know, back in those days, you know, the Puritans and, you know, those sorts of people, you know, again, that was akin to devil worship. You know, very hokey to be observing the stars and understanding them and such, you know? So that's just one way that I say I reference that time, the pre-colonial times.
Oh, I love it. I love it. In our community, we say when the animals were willing to talk to us and we could understand them.
Oh, I love that. Yes.
And now we're not very good friends to our animals and our plants and our water and our planet. And it was different then. We have to take a quick commercial break, but when we come back, we're gonna get practical. We're going to start talking about how to indigenize our lives, all of us. So stay right there. We'll be right back.
To come and save her, better believe they get on their knees, they pray hard, they pray hard, and never look back once the world forgave you.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Wait a minute! They told us we had an oil shortage. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of oil.
I'm Wes. I'm Tia. And I'm Heather. And we are Three Voices.
You want this drum over here? It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about it.
I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com, click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
Hi, everyone. Al Roker here. As a guy with his own catchphrase, I appreciate that after 75 years... Smokey's only said,
only you can prevent wildfires.
But I'm filling in because there's a lot more to report. Like when it's dry or windy. Be careful burning yard waste, because wildfires can even start in your neck of the woods. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hey, I'm Haley Kiyoko, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now is the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
The life of every child is precious. If you care for a child or teenager with a disability and have limited income and resources, they may qualify for monthly cash payments through the Supplemental Security Income Program, or SSI. Call Social Security at 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/ssikids to learn more. That's ssa.gov/ssikids. Message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
What do you think you're doing, Kevin?
I was just going to drive home.
There are several warning signs present that you shouldn't be driving.
Like hearing voices?
Like your text to emoji ratio?
Oh, man, the selfies.
Selfie nailed it.
We all have warning signs that let us know that we're probably not okay to drive. Mine is pretending to be your subconscious.
Craig, come on, man, let's put a ride home.
When you take your car in for an oil change, a good mechanic will also take care of other routine maintenance to make sure your car runs safely and efficiently. Protecting your health isn't much different. When you get a COVID-19 vaccine, it's important to make sure you're also protected from other serious but preventable diseases. It's easy and convenient to get other routine vaccines at the same time as a COVID-19 vaccine. So make sure you ask a healthcare professional about other vaccines you may need to maintain your health.
Can you come and save her? Better believe they get on their knees and pray all. They pray all. They never look back. What's the world forget?
What a marvelous conversation we are having. This is phenomenal. And it's all because of our guest today. Would you please reintroduce yourself to us?
Yes, my name is Dwayne Brayboy, and I'm Tuscarora from North Carolina. I'm enrolled at Prospect Longhouse in Robeson County, and I'm Bear Clan.
We're so thankful that you're here today. This is really an amazing conversation and a milestone event. One of the things I really want to make sure we do is say thank you to you, because, you know, this ceremony, this milestone, this piece of your nation's culture and history that will endure would not have been possible, not really, at this moment in time, if you hadn't been willing to make the effort to learn and refine your knowledge of your language and your culture and your traditions. So thank you for putting in the work.
Yes, thank you for saying so. And I, you know, one of my good best friends up north, we speak about this sometimes and say, well, it's just that we're stubborn. You know, it's that we're just yeah. stubborn people that were just not willing to let it go. We weren't willing to let it die.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I was like, Okay, yeah. I think that's me.
That's wonderful. I mean, I think that kind of persistence, that kind of courage, that kind of bravery, that's what our ancestors had to do.
Right.
I mean, at some point in their lives, they had to be willing to learn something and remember something and keep the knowledge of something and pass it on, even if it wasn't considered right or legal or appropriate by the dominant culture. And so thank you. Thank you for your courage and your perseverance in that. And so that makes me think about, you know, I believe that there are so many indigenous people in the world today. And Africa and Asia, New Zealand and Australia, and, you know, right here in the Americas. I mean, we have so many indigenous people of all different kinds. And then there are cultures at the root of, you know, I'm thinking Gaelic and Celtic and Teutonic and Nordic. I'm thinking that other people have culture in their roots as well. And so when we think about our lives today, why should we indigenize them? What are good reasons to indigenize them?
Because these cultures are inherently what makes us us.
Mm-hmm.
And that alone should be honored,
mm-hmm.
you know? To see an African culture or a Southeast Asian culture, for mm-hmm. example, you know, and say that these are good people. However, they need to be more like us, you know? We need to come colonize them and make sure that these people no longer do things the way that they're doing them. They got to be doing things the way that we do them.
Mm-hmm.
The criminal arrogance of that is unacceptable. Yeah, people deserve to just be themselves. You know, the freedom
mm-hmm.
to be who they are and to follow in their ancestors' footsteps, not somebody else's ancestors' footsteps.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, you know, in the very, even in the most, not even say a huge cultural way, but even in small cultural ways, like I have spoken for decades about my unpopular opinion among some circles that people should not have to adopt European names still at this day and time. You know?
Wow.
I mean, if people choose mm-hmm. to and they want to because mm-hmm. they just sincerely like a name and it means something to them,
mm-hmm.
fine. That's great. There's mm-hmm. nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
But say if an African American woman is given the name Sue at birth or Susan, you know, and she grows up and, you know, she doesn't identify culturally with this European name.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she wants to change her name to a more traditional African name from maybe where her people are from.
Mm-hmm.
She has every right to do that, as far as I'm concerned, mm-hmm. and should be encouraged to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Because that, you know, because the African Americans, their culture was stolen from them too,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so if they want to re-indigenize themselves, even in these small ways, by just addressing each other by names that are culturally appropriate,
mm-hmm.
like that, mm-hmm. they should be allowed to.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. I'm really interested in that too, because as Indigenous people, we changed our names throughout our lives. You know,
yes.
Ceremony, and you did something brave. Somebody gave you their name.
Right.
Someone passed on a name to you as a legacy. You had another baby. You know, somebody gave you a new name. And we were able to do that without any pushback from the community. It was a form of growth. This is how I'm
right.
growing. You can tell where I am in these wonderful moments. And I love that. And so there is a place where we can indigenize, because even if you choose to go by a certain name at work, you could live your life in your church community or in your friend and family community or some other space. You could bring your indigenous choice of name into those spaces as well. homeschooling is such a wonderful place for that as well. I mean, I meet homeschoolers that have all kinds of beautiful names. And the homeschooling community and co-ops and people they are with are so much more accepting of those names so many times than public school, which is quick to try to, oh, that's hard to say, let's give you a nickname. Or, oh, wow, that's a lot of letters, let's teach you to write a nickname. And I love that because what we call ourselves is what we answer to. How do we show up in the world? Well, if your name is something that, you know, you don't really identify with, you show up differently than if it, this is a name that actually speaks prophetically about you and your life. Okay, this is a tougher one for me to think about, but I know your brilliant mind probably has already thought about it. But what happens to us? Like, what are the perils? What happens to us if we're Indigenous people and we don't ever indigenize?
Well, I've known those people too.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I've known people, elders, who have moved away from their native communities of origin, either by choice or not by their choice, by their parents' choices,
mm-hmm.
and they grow up outside of a native community. They don't have the encouragement to pursue their culture. And even if they were, they don't have their culture readily available to them. They can't just go over to, say, the Longhouse for ceremony mm-hmm. this month, because if they stay hundreds of miles away or thousands of miles away, they can't just go be part of their culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for one reason or another, there are these people who don't indigenize or re-indigenize.
Mm-hmm.
And in my personal opinion, it doesn't make them less. Okay. It just makes them different. You
mm-hmm.
know, they,
mm-hmm.
they've had a different experience, you know, like if they... you know, were raised in, say, a Native person who is raised in a different culture, you know, and they don't have any of their own cultural teachings from their own communities, you know. Well, you know, they're still Native.
Right.
You know, they're just mm-hmm. not, they're just not culturally adept. You know, they may not know what their language sounds like, they because there's no one in this new community who speaks their language of origin.
Mm-hmm.
They may not know what their cultural customs are because they've never been in a traditional ceremony. And we've, you know, Tuscaroras, we've known those people as well, these people who have come home, who were born and raised in a different place and through no fault of their own, but then they want to reconnect with us. And they come back. And so I've seen that. It doesn't make them any less. It just makes their experience different.
I deeply appreciate you saying that. And I think that's an important thing to put in any conversation about indigenizing or decolonizing, because we don't want to have gatekeepers. We don't want to have, you know,
right.
more Indian than thou, or, you know, oh, you only went to 4 stomp dances and I went to 5, you know. Just, I mean, we don't want
right.
to do that. We don't want to create a hierarchy. And so I love what you're saying, as always, because I think that that's really important. Because here is the bottom line. It's about liberty. Before, we couldn't choose if we wanted to speak our language or not. You couldn't choose if you wanted to go to ceremony or not when it was illegal. I mean, you had to then make
right.
choices at a different level. Like, okay, I'm really going to do something revolutionary here. But we have choices, and liberty means you can make choices. You can choose the life that's best for you. Now, we're not talking about lasciviousness, to be without restraint. We're just talking about within, you know, good parameters and a good mind, you can choose what you did. I mean, some tribes had beads. Some tribes had porcupine quills. Some tribes,
right.
you know, right? I mean, some tribes had moccasins and some had sandals. And
some
so,
have horses, some
right.
have canoes.
That's right. Thank you. And that's so important.
Mm-hmm.
So we were different. We had our own ways of expressing ourselves as nations and tribes, but then we also had unique ways within that tribe. You were free to be a person, even within your nation. You know, Hollywood has made us think that everyone wore the same outfits and, looked the same and acted the same. But we were nations of people. And so, you know, you have that guy that, you know, he wants to wear feathers, and then you have this guy over here, and he's wearing a buffalo robe. I mean, we had different people. We had different proclivities and preferences. And I think it's really important, even when we talk about indigenization, to note what's a preference. Because sometimes you'll see folks and, you know, you'll have people who say, oh, no, you shouldn't be wearing a ribbon skirt to this ceremony. You should be wearing our traditional skirts, the ones we always had. Should you, though? I don't know. Is that a preference? I mean, or is that going to affect the way we pray? I mean, I don't know. And I'm saying that I think we have to then set people free, not just, okay, well, if you're indigenous, then your every painting in your house should have a wolf howling at the moon. Because then you can get, then you get the stereotypes. You get the, we've all seen them at powwows where it's like a little too much, right? And I think we have to be merciful to one another. Where are people on their journey? Creator speaks to everybody, you know, all of us, but he says different things. So what you're called to do and what I'm called to do and what someone else is called to do might be different, but it's all wonderful. And it's all part of helping us all to have a good mind and a good life.
And something that is very prevalent in Haudenosaunee culture is that even the Jesuits back in the 1600s, they recorded this, like our relation to Creator. Mm. It's that, you know, these, what they called us Iroquois, but, you know, these Haudenosaunee people, they balk at the idea of kings and lords and such, you know, you know, ruling over them because they can't reconcile that, because their only consideration is to Creator. And our relationship to Creator is very, very private and individual. You know, my relationship to Creator may be different than the next person's. Mm-hmm. Well, it most certainly would be. And, you know, we have different, all have different relationships to Creator, and therefore different standards, different conditions of that relationship, you know?
Mm.
So that's just very much a part of who we are.
Mm. I love
that.
But
we all have that individuality,
mm-hmm.
you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you. I mean, you said that absolutely perfectly.
It's like me.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And it's like we're talking about individuality.
Mm-hmm.
For example, during ceremony, you know, I'm Bear Clan, which is the medicine clan.
Mm-hmm.
And my name is Runik Wache. That's my Tuscarora name, you know, medicine lays with him.
Beautiful.
And so I wore my medicine hat in ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most...
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other men are wearing gastoes, you know, with the feather cap, you know. But I wore my medicine hat because that is, you know, that's my individuality. That's me being Bear Clan, you know.
Yeah.
And it has just six of the medicines that are important to me, significant, that I have on my medicine hat. So, you know. Everyone else is wearing gastoes, okay, but I'm going to wear my medicine hat.
Yes.
That sort of individuality. And it's okay.
Right. It's okay. In fact, it's wonderful. And that brings me to this point I want all of us to take away from this beautiful conversation, is that we can indigenize our own lives. We can move in ways. I mean, most of you that know me know that I wear our traditional skirts pretty much all the time. With a t-shirt, with a sweater, with whatever, but that's pretty much how you'll see me in the world. I'm not telling you have to do that. I'm just saying that's my way of indigenizing my wardrobe. And I think that I want all of our friends who are listening to feel free to take the things from their own culture. We don't want cultural appropriation. We want, you know, your own indigenous culture, your own individual heritage or family tree or family heritage, and move them into your own lives, your own education, your own walk with God, however it is that you want to be in the world. So could you just take a minute or two and speak directly to our friends who are listening and give them some encouragement and help them perhaps to indigenize our lives?
Well, yes. But thank you for the opportunity. And so I would say, you know, that to those who are maybe outliers, you know, on the fringe of their culture, whatever culture it is that is their culture, you know, I would encourage them to get involved, because my experience has been that people who just never get involved, and they're in their communities or on the fringe of their communities, but they just don't ever get involved culturally, my experience has been that they will learn so much about themselves once they do that. You know, they get involved, they start participating in their own people's language, customs, dances, culture, art, and they realize all these things about themselves that suddenly make sense. You know, oh, that's why I've always done that. That's why I've always thought this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We are nothing if not the sum of our ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
At a very basic level, that's all we are, the sum of our ancestors. And there's no denying that, you know? You know, a fish can't climb a tree.
Right.
So, you know, be yourself. Participate in your culture. You won't regret it. Mm. You won't regret it.
You won't regret it. What a wonderful conversation this is. I have enjoyed every minute of it thoroughly. And as we close, I would be so blessed and honored if you would share just a few words with us in your magnificent Tuscarora language.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yaguarihuatate, how we said, Disne Yaguarihuacwasnati, ha Yagwe, Yaguachinete, Hane Jitnuage, a Yakisodge, Hapne Wagaihre, Hane, how we said, Entnwastag, Hakenegeguinigue, Haunequa. And that is a short thanks to Creator for the strawberry.
Mm.
That's fresh in my mind.
That's perfect. Thank you so much for joining us today and for helping us to indigenize our lives and for the courage and dedication you have shown in bringing this beautiful ceremony into the lives of your nation and now sharing it with all of us. We are so thankful that you were willing to be here with us and to share such a monumental milestone.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me. It's always good medicine to talk to you and to know that all of your many listeners are out there listening to these words. It's really an honor.
Mm-hmm. It's an honor for us too. Thank you to all of you who make this show possible. Our sponsors, our donors, our listeners and friends, our guests, our network, those prayer warriors, all of you who help us to do what we do, we are so grateful and so thankful for you. And we are mostly thankful that the Creator allows us to have these beautiful conversations. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and I'm already looking forward to next time. See you then.
Savor, better believe it, get on and be the pray all, they pray all, and never look back, what the world forgave you.
gum and saver.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.